Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2021 earnings conference call of Gabriel India Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar, Managing Director of Gabriel India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, good evening, everybody on the call, and very warm welcome. I sincerely hope and pray that all of you and your loved ones are in the best of health and safe in the confines of your home or in a safe bubble. We all know the second wave of pandemic has actually wreaked quite some havoc, particularly in Mumbai, Pune to start with. Yeah, thankfully, as we all know, it seems to be coming under control, while it definitely has not gone away. Joining me today on the call is Rishi, whom you're familiar, our CFO, Nilesh, again whom you're familiar, our Company Secretary, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. Thanks to them for joining. I hope you had time to go through the results and the presentation, which was rather short this time because we just finished our board meeting pretty late today. I hope you did still have some time to go through them. Before we get into the numbers, I hope I'm audible because I'm wearing a mask, so you know, pardon me if I'm not fully clear, because we are all sitting in the same office in my office, in fact. I'll try to be loud, okay? I hope, you know, before we get into the numbers, let me provide you with an update on how the current environment is shaping up. We did see a very solid quarter in terms of Q4 of last fiscal, 2021. Since then, in fact, even April was shaping up well, and then we had the second wave of pandemic. Unlike the first wave, second wave has seen deeper and wider penetration, and now actually, you know, we are seeing the penetration go into the rural areas and the villages. And one more feature which was a little different in this second wave was we had, you know, localized lockdowns and restrictions imposed by various states at various different times. So that added another challenge to, you know, us in terms of our operations, because we have interdependencies on plants and supply, I mean, in terms of the supply chain. Whereas last year it was an entire nationwide lockdown. So, you know, we could actually shut the plants at all locations. This time we did not shut any plant except maybe Nashik plant, because the government had mandated for a period of 1 week we had to shut that. Otherwise, all our plants have been running through the lockdown. May not be on full capacity, but yes, because customers were running. So this was a little, you know, different in terms of the lockdown scenario this in the second wave. However, with this vaccination program, which is now open to all of our 18, we hope that there will be, you know, immunity developed among the population, and, you know, our economic activities will bounce back to previous levels. I really cannot take a guess as to when, but we generally, as a company, as an industry, we are hoping that things should start picking up in the month of July. June also might see effects of the second wave. While numbers are down, we all are seeing that, but you know, still states are not opened up, the retail outlets are still closed, so it will take some time for people to get back to normal levels. At Gabriel and Anand Group, we believe that we have been better prepared this time in terms of you know, the COVID-19. Yes, we did have impact. We unfortunately did have, very, very sorry to share, that we did have even, you know, the sad demise of two of our colleagues in Gabriel, and even in Anand Group, we had, you know, almost 10 succumbing to this devastating virus. But we did ensure very solid protocol to ensure and guarantee the safety of employees who are coming to work despite this COVID challenge. So firstly, I would like to also put on record the fantastic work being done by each coming to the shop floor every day and working with all commitment to deliver the products. We currently have across all our 7 plants, we have about 52 active cases. So which is quite, I must say, a good number, because this number was much higher in the month of April. This has gradually come down, and it's, you know, the trend is definitely going down. We at Gabriel and Anand Group, we believe safety of our employees is of utmost importance. Safety is first and then comes everything else. So we have introduced, lots of policies. We have amended many policies to help the employees, also to give them some mental comfort. You know, that's very, very important in these times, because we are all seeing that, people are really extremely stressed. One is the vaccination policy. We have started a group vaccination policy to ensure all are vaccinated. All the eligible employees above the age of 45 are vaccinated 100%. We've done that. Now, since above 18, a lot of our workforce are young diploma holders. So we are waiting for the vaccinations to actually start, being available. And then we have even tied up for, doing the same. In addition, as I mentioned on the mental front, in terms of the mind of people, we have launched what we call a wellness initiative called Positive Pulse, where we are providing access to all employees for personal online counseling 24/7, and so that employees can reach out to people, talk to them, get some assurance, get some counseling, which is very, very important in these current times. For the people who have unfortunately passed away, we have also amended our policy to ensure that, their families are taken care of, their children education is taken care of to the best possible extent. So these are some of the things we have done, at Gabriel and Anand Group in these very tough times. Although broad uncertainty remains in the near term, we believe our ability to manage the situation during the first wave provides us adequate comfort that the inherent strength of our business model will allow us to successfully navigate near-term challenges and drive a gradual and sustainable uptick in performance when things start returning to normalcy. I am delighted to share that the Board of Directors have recommended a dividend of 70 paisa, final dividend of 70 paisa, that means the total will be 90 paisa per share of 1 rupee. Interim was already 20 paisa, as you know. So in addition to that 20 paisa, 70 paisa has been added. So it is total of 90 paisa. Now moving to the numbers, we have delivered a reasonably good performance, I presume, in FY21 despite the severe challenges, as you all know. Post the partial lockdowns and easing of restrictions, we witnessed a very sharp recovery, and we were able to deliver a top line of almost 1700 crores, which is, I must say, in the current scheme of things, was really better than even what we expected, thanks to the auto OEMs who really picked up speed very well. EBITDA at 107.6 crores, and PAT came in at 60.3 crores in FY21. We delivered revenue growth of 37% in the quarter, coming to the quarter, 37%, 580 crore revenue, which is in fact our highest ever quarter in terms of revenues. This comes back on the back of strong growth in all segments. Of course, we really cannot compare the Q4 of previous year, because we all know from March 23rd last year, there was a 10-day lockdown, so it was complete washout for the last 10 days of 1920. The automobile industry also maintained a decent month-on-month growth, led by gradual improvement in urban markets and continued positive traction in rural markets. Within the CV segment, LCV volumes witnessed a decent improvement with high growth in March 21. M&HCV also started witnessing strong growth in the quarter. However, we are seeing that growth again slip up in the current months. For the first time after a year, three-wheeler segment started recording volume improvement both on month and year-on-year basis in Q4 21, which is good news because we are a dominant player in three-wheeler market. We recorded a 49% year-on-year growth in EBITDA in Q4 to 49.3 crores. Margin stood at 8.5%, up 0.7% year-on-year. As all of you are aware, the significant increase in commodity prices has continued this quarter. In fact, we continue to keep getting and hearing of further commodity price increases, especially steel. But thanks to our initiative of Core 90, which I did elaborate in the last several calls, which is cost reduction 90 days, this has helped us offset that impact to some extent. And that's how you see the improvement in EBITDA margins. Moving on to the balance sheet and cash flows, we continue to maintain a robust balance sheet with net cash of almost 270 crores for the year. Again, you know, you have to look at it at in view of the challenging year that we have had. We have maintained our trust on collections and are continuously working on reducing our inventories. This led to a healthy cash flow from operations to the tune of 204 crores for FY21 as compared to only 120 crores in FY20. Our net working capital days stands at 19 as compared to 33 of March 20. We will continue to make capital investments in R&D, automation, line balancing to be prepared for the future, because we believe these are some things that we should not be, you know, moving away from. CapEx incurred for FY21 stood at 47 crores, which included the Sanand plant expansion, the tech center at Chakan, which is now completely ready for the four-wheeler and commercial vehicle and railways, and the Hosur expansion in the casting plant as a part of our backward integration to reduce import content, which again I had shared in the last call. We have planned the CapEx in the range of, you know, 80 to 100 crores for 22, of which 50 to 60 will be spent towards, of course, plant and maintenance, plant and equipment maintenance of all the 7 plants that we have. And we'll add 20 crores in the backward integration in terms of the casting facility for the front fork outer tube for the two-wheeler front fork suspension. Our aim clearly is to reduce the import content in the raw material cost in this year. Coming to segment-wise performance, we saw very good traction in two-wheelers. We continue to maintain a very high level of engagement with our customers and are focusing on enhancing our market share, and that has been seen in the results. As you're aware, EV trend is accelerating, especially the first to adopt will be the two-wheelers and three-wheelers, again, as we all know. And we have the formal LOI from, you know, Ola Electric, and we have, you know, given them a new technology front fork and rear shock absorber, and they have been very satisfied with the product development that we have done. And now we are looking forward to the ramp up. In fact, just yesterday we also got the ramp up plan indication. As you may have read or seen the video, which is available on their site, Ola Electric, they are really going very aggressively on the plant. Setting up the plant with full speed. We are also glad to report a sequential uptick in our passenger car segment, which has not been, you know, as good as two-wheelers in past years. But here we have really filled up our business pipeline also very well. And we already have the Espresso. The Brezza is doing very well, the Maruti Brezza. And also Brezza gets badged as a Toyota Urban Cruiser as well. So that also is doing reasonably well. So this is something in addition. And based on the flawless execution of the last few models that we did with Maruti, we have already won the new Maruti Jimny. This is going to be produced in India, and probably this might be the base for exports as well for Maruti Jimny. In addition to this, we also have won another order from Maruti, another two orders from Maruti, one of which is a replacement. With Mahindra, we are already on the new Thar, which is doing quite well, and we are on the new XUV, which is going to be launched shortly. The development of this has gone very well, with really almost customer delight being shown by the customer on this new technology that we have introduced for their suspension, which we'll be introducing on the suspension. The Volkswagen program also is going on. We also have got nominated for the Tata Motors Tiago and Tigor. The initial supplies have just started in the month of April, and this should definitely catch up in the next quarters. Moving to CV space, as I said, sales did pick up, and our dominant position continues in the market, but the industry is still facing turbulent times, and with this second wave, it's even gone completely backwards. Aftermarket continues to be a strong story. We did almost 257 crores in FY21, and aftermarket, in fact, contributed to almost 15% of our revenue in 21. We are leveraging Gabriel brand name successfully by launching new product lines. We are focusing on the core segment as well to try to increase the sales in our basic suspension commodity in absolutely all interiors of India as well. Exports has also been a good story. Our exports have started doing very well. We had a growth of 163% year on year, if you see for the quarter Q4 FY21. Our export went to almost 21 crores in this quarter. So we are seeing really good traction in the exports, the journey which we started quite some time back. And some more orders are being right now under development, which we should start supplies very soon. So on the whole, we did start this year on a very, very positive note. As I said, after the especially Q3 and Q4 of last year, April also went well. But yes, the second wave has caught all of us, meaning the entire nation, unawares, and we are still grappling with it. There are talks of a third wave as well. I'm not an expert, but people say this might happen in the period of October, November, which is again a festive period for all of us. So we really don't know what will be its impact, how rampant and how infectious and how severe it will be, because second wave really has shaken all of us, I'm sure. So we'll have to see. What we have decided is we are just embarking on some scenario planning. It's difficult for us to even project any kind of figures, but what we said is we'll do a couple of scenarios so that our action plans are ready to take care of different scenarios. So that's all that I had to share with all of you, and I once again sincerely pray that all of us remain healthy and we very quickly recover and start seeing good days at the very, very earliest. But till then, please stay safe, please get vaccinated, and do not let your guard down is all I can request everybody. So thank you, and over to you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, Nikhil. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir, and congratulations on a great set of numbers, and not only for the quarter, but managing the full year financials in a very strong way. So great work to the team. Sir, I have two questions. One is on export. I think the scale-up has been pretty good. But just to understand how both the models, the VW model in Russia and DEF, how are they performing in the end market? And do you think that this 20 crores of run rate which we've been maintaining can be sustained as a base case and build up on this, which you mentioned that some more orders might be executed over a period of time? So if it, one is on how the models are doing in the end market, and secondly, how do you see the build up over this 20 crores or quarterly run rate or 80 crores annual run rate?
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Nikhil, for the compliments. And on the exports, we definitely see it sustaining, not only sustaining, we see it growing as well. Just to share with you, DAF Netherlands have increased the order they have placed on us with respect to the original plan. You know, it's a, of course, a small increase, but nevertheless an increase. And why I'm telling it will not only sustain but increase is because, you know, couple of other models are under, I mean, couple of other shock absorbers are under development, which we should start in the next quarter. So definitely they should sustain. And Volkswagen has been steadily picking up. You know, we are doing almost 5 containers a week. So that's been going very steady. Even that, there had already been an increase. This was supposed to be a little lesser. We already got that increase and we're delivering that. And it's a quite a robust model and a very well accepted model in Russia. I don't see that you know, going down in any way. In addition, we are also looking at, you know, this is the OE part. Even our aftermarket exports last year, in fact, we posted a growth on aftermarket exports compared to 1920. You know, despite the COVID year, we actually grew on a small base. But the encouraging part is we actually grew in aftermarket exports. So those efforts continue. So I'm pretty sure that we'll not only sustain but we'll in fact improve this this going forward. Unless, of course, currently the only if is, you know, these COVID waves hitting in those respective countries. But as we know, you know, the vaccinations have been done in those geographies, and I don't think we should fear much on that front.
Okay. Just one follow-up, sir. You mentioned, I think in the last call, you had mentioned that the order pipeline in terms of new orders which we were getting were also looking good. So if you can share anything other than the two existing customer, how is the order pipeline looking at in terms of from other OEMs or anything which could be, which you think is worth sharing or?
You mean domestic?
No, on the export side.
Export side, well, we have some, you know, we are in very advanced stages to discuss with, I can say, at least two big OEMs currently. But yeah, these things take time. Whether it will click or no, I really don't know. Well, the China plus one strategy, we are seeing that play to some extent. So I certainly see a window of opportunity. It's very difficult for me to right now. Because, you know, these orders as well, the ones which you are delivering today, took, you know, almost 3 to 4 years for us to, you know, continuously follow, chase and fructify finally.
Sure. And just one last question. Sir, if we look at, like, if I'm not wrong, in the CV side, MHCV and LCV, our market share is pretty significant. I think 80-85%, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
And last 2 years, 3 years, if you look, CV had been a really bad hit in terms of sales and everything. Now, as what the industry is expecting, that from a low base, probably we will see some growth. So do you think there is some operating leverage as the CV sales start picking up, which can play out for us? Or would that be a wrong, would it be a different conclusion? So how should we understand if the CV cycle does improve even from a low base of 10-20% growth, I think there should be operating leverage for us as well. So how do you see it?
No, certainly there will be operating leverage. In fact, Nikhil, in the last quarter, we had started seeing, you know, the CV numbers really start going up very well. And just to share with you, we have a union in our CV plant, and we signed a, you know, very, very good agreement, you know, both benefiting, you know, the complete win-win agreement, and they started delivering higher numbers as well, responded very well, you know, and volumes had started increasing significantly, and we were seeing an operating leverage, you know, happening in during those times. So yes, I think certainly when volumes come back, and just to share, we had thought that CV will grow by a minimum of 50% in this year, in this financial year.
Mm-hmm.
The figures ranging from 40 to 90% in the industry. I'm talking of the OEMs themselves. They were sharing 40 to 90%, and we said 50%, you know, will definitely happen. Well, we'll have to see. It'll come back for sure, but I don't see that happening in even the first two quarters, if you ask me.
Okay, thanks a lot, sir. I'll return to the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, two questions. Question number one, in on the passenger vehicle side, the modules that you mentioned, so are we the primary supplier and what would be our share of business? That is the one question. And second question is, if we have to look at over the next 3 years or next 4 years, how big passenger vehicle can be in overall scheme of things for us?
Okay, yeah, Chirag, so firstly in passenger car, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, normally it is a, you know, 100% share. You know, there is no share of business, meaning if I get a particular model, we get it entirely, you know. So whatever models that I did mention in terms of Maruti or Mahindra or, well, Tata we are sharing, yes, but the other models is completely 100% with Gabriel. That is one. And second, in terms of passenger car, we definitely, you know, want to grow this percentage much more than what it was. You know, it's only let's say 20 odd percent to total sale. We would want to take it, I mean, at least to 30%.
Okay. We
are building that pipeline. Thankfully, we are, as I said, we are getting some good orders, good pipeline build-up from all the key customers, Maruti being the main one. So our target would be that, yes.
Thank you very much, sir. And sir, one question, if I can squeeze in, is on the import content. So you said your aim is to reduce import. How much is import for us on the in the raw material? A ballpark number also would be fine. And how are we going about to reduce it, and by when we can see those efforts fructified?
So we made a, you know, a very elaborate plan of reducing our imports, and that's why, as I said, we invested almost 25 crores in backward integration, which was the biggest commodity that we were importing in terms of casting. That is, you know, firmly in place, but, and also we are developing some suppliers locally, you know, where we had to, you know, actually also handhold them to some extent so that they develop very well with all our quality requirements. So our imports for 2021 would be in the range of, let's say, 11% of our total. That this year we'll definitely want to, you know, bring it down by at least 3%.
11% of the raw material basket, right, sir?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
11% of the raw material basket. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much, and all the best.
And in 22-23, I mean, we definitely want to see this figure come down to as low as possible.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Shashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first and foremost, I wanted to understand what's the bigger opportunity with Ola Electric. So, are we the sole supplier to Ola Electric? And do we have sufficient capacities to really supply to them? Because the company is talking about a million units next year sometime, right? So, if you can share what are the ramp-up plans that they have shared with you and some other color on that front.
Yeah, so Shashank, Ola is talking of really very big volumes. He has very ambitious plans. Of 2 million two-wheelers in a year, and the ramp up also what they've indicated is quite aggressive. Yes, but being a completely new player for him to even develop that distribution network it will take some time. It won't be such a quick ramp up. So right now we are obviously investing, going to invest in terms of machine, additional machines, additional lines, a little bit of enhancing capacity in our powder coating, etc. No building as such, but definitely in terms of only machines. So that we'll be doing to meet the immediate requirement. However, if it really goes to 1 million plus, we may have to see, look at ways of, finding space within our existing setup.
Right. So, sir, the content per vehicle remains almost the same as a usual two-wheeler, right? Around 1,200 to 1,500 rupees per two-wheeler unit, right?
Content per vehicle is much higher than that, what you just mentioned, that figure, as far as Ola is concerned. And we are the sole source.
So, sir, but you mentioned in your opening remarks that you received some ramp-up plans. So, if you could share something 3 months, 6 months down the line, what is the quantum of supply are we expected to supply to them?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't share the plans because we have signed a confidentiality with the customer. So, as of now, I can't share the plans. But all I can say is they are really aggressive. Bhavish Agrawal wants to change the landscape of EV in India. So, really very ambitious and very passionate about it, I must say.
So, sir, if we were to expand our capacities meaningfully, so, in what position are we to really expand, and will it be a brownfield expansion or greenfield expansion or any color on that thing?
Well, as of now, as I said, we are only adding to our, adding to the current location in Hosur. We are able to accommodate these machines and additional lines that we will need for Ola. So that we'll manage to do. But if it goes really to 1 million plus, then we will have to look at a greenfield.
Okay, and what time will it take, sir, roughly, for a greenfield to really come up?
A greenfield, max of 9 months.
So, sir, the point that I'm trying to drive is, so we are not going slow so as to miss the bus, right? So that is what we want to ascertain.
We are not. We know, and the ramp up cannot happen so quickly. But we have adequate. In the worst case, you can always add on to the space, but renting space and shed.
So my second question is the RM front, right? So initial remarks you mentioned that there is a pressure on raw material prices, especially steel. But so sequentially, our gross margins have really expanded. So is it because of some product mix change, or if you can throw some light there?
You're talking about the RM percentage increasing?
RM to sales decreasing sequentially for us, quarter on quarter, from Q3 to Q4.
Decreasing. Oh, from Q3 to Q4, right?
Yes. But adversely, there was increase in raw material costs across the basket for all the OEMs as well as ancillaries.
Yeah, so on the, on the commodity side, we've been saying already that we are indexed with the customer. So there may be some timing differences that may cause an impact in one quarter, whereas the reversal can happen in the next quarter. That being one. Second also is with regard to the product mix that can change the landscape of the RMC percentage. So in this quarter, if you are comparing with Q3 versus Q4, then there is both the price variance as well as the mix variance.
Yes, thank you so much. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amin Pirani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So my question is again on, you mentioned, that you are won orders from quite a few electric two-wheeler companies, not just Ola, but there are some other names as well. What I wanted to understand was that are the capacities that you are setting up, are they dedicated capacities for these guys or are these fungible with your existing companies? Because if anyone or collectively they are able to do 1 million or 2 million in a year, then I'm guessing that not all of it will come from market expansion. A lot of it will also come from, lower volumes for the other existing companies. So are your capacities fungible or you will have to set up dedicated capacities only and, you will, how will it work?
I would say to a large extent fungible, to the extent of, the casting, obviously we'll have to have dedicated dies. You might have dedicated jiggles and fixtures, but these are not, big expenses. The big expenses mainly, let's say the machining centers that we need, or the powder coating, which is, for which we don't need any, it's not dedicated to a part. It is fungible.
Okay. Understood. That helps, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Gangar from Axis Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you please throw some light on the cost reduction initiative taken and what are we targeting and how much are we planning through the COVID-19 program?
Hi. Thanks for asking that question. So cost reduction initiative actually has now become a culture and we have been running this for the third year now. And this year as well, we are targeting in terms of managing as well as reducing the current cost levels. We've already described it last time that every single item in the P&L that you see as well as the working capital management is a part of this. One is, of course, to ensure that the budgeted numbers and the savings that we have considered in the budget, that is achieved. Second is also there is a stretch target that is being taken over and above that under this program.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, and the good part is, what we saw, this corner, we have, shared a few slides as well in the pack. We have kind of, like Rishi rightly said, we are trying to make it as a culture. So, when people open their laptops or PC screens, this is what they'll see on the screen. So, it's continuous reinforcement and hammering that costs are really very, very important in the current scheme of things, especially when the volumes are unpredictable. This is what will help us, save the day. The other thing is when we did last time when the first wave hit, we undertook cost reduction exercises and obviously it was, it went very well. We had some very, very good ideas. We, in a sense, the team thought that we are, at the end of the ideas now. But when we re-energized for this year, we are all really surprised pleasantly to see that, there are more ideas, So the towel is never dry, as they say.
Understood. That's good to hear. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shailesh Naik, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, my question is on that electrical vehicle. As I understand that now with Ola, we are exclusive, right? That is one. Second are we just supplying hardware or are we having some sensors and then software for that so that there's a suspension optimizing system, etc., or it's only hardware? That's my question. First question.
Thanks. Interesting question. It is only hardware. Right now, because India is a very cost-sensitive country, so none of the products offer an electronic suspension as yet. while we have developed one and we are testing it out, but that becomes very expensive, and it even globally it's only there on very high-end bikes. You know, even if you buy a, let's say you go and buy a bike for in the range of 10 to 15 lakhs, let's say a Harley or a Triumph or, you know, a Honda 650 or a Kawasaki or whatever, you know, they also do not offer electronic suspension as yet. It is only present in literally 1,000 plus cc.
Mm-hmm. And similarly, last time in the con call, you had mentioned that there is a challenge to get into the premium passenger vehicles because either the volumes are very small or because of their international tires. So what is the way forward in that? Because unless we crack the higher-end technology, this thing, in long term, we may never get into that segment. Is there a way we can move through export, or what is the plan for that segment of which might be high-margin suspensions?
Yeah, so, you know, what you said is right. One is in terms of exports. So exports, one adds to your brand equity. It also helps us in understanding global customers, understanding global quality levels, which we are then, you know, able to plow it back into our products that we offer. So certainly that will help. And, you know, while premium products, because the volumes are small, what I'd mentioned last time was that the OEMs do not localize them because it's a huge cost and effort for them. So they don't localize the premium products. So till we get the volumes, I mean, till the OEM gets the volumes, we will not, I mean, obviously we will not get any business. So most of these are TKD parts.
But we have capability to address it if there's a volume?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We certainly have. I mean, just to share with you, I've got RFQs for even Audi.
Okay.
You know, globally.
Okay.
So it's not that we cannot address only the electronic suspension part, which we have developed on our own, but we are nowhere in a shape to let's say production supplies. It's more in a prototype phase. But the other products, we are very well in a position to supply to global OEMs. Just to share with you, we supply to even the Indian OEMs, and their products are being exported in a big, big way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that gives us confidence that we definitely can meet any demand.
Just one final question. In case, I just want for the entire shock absorber as a global industry, what is seen as a possible disruption that might happen? Is there a danger of consolidation or, what are the different risks which you see in the overall global shock absorber or suspension industry?
You're talking the industry and not the product.
As an industry, yeah, as an industry.
Consolidation is still not happened. I mean, I'm not seeing that particular trend. There have been. Yes, they have changed hands. Some suspension players have changed hands over the years. But in terms of consolidation, I have not seen much in that space. Typically, suspension industry is, specialized, and it continues to be so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Naveen Mata from Mahindra Manulife. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. I missed your initial comment, so I just wanted to know with regards to your order from Ola Electric, whether if you mentioned the size of the order and what is the SOP?
Thanks for your question, but I cannot mention the size of the order. But we are the single source, the SOP is, what they have indicated for us is from the month of August.
Okay. Right, so that's all I have from it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jitu Punjabi from EM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me this time? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, Manoj. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, yeah.
Ajay, so thanks so much for the whole, you know, all the insights that you gave. Now, I just wanted to understand next 12, 15 months, I'm obviously COVID dependent, but if you were to look at what you think intuitively would be the industry growth that's relevant to you, would a 15, 20% number sound reasonable or would that be out of line?
Are you talking about growth or are you talking about drop?
Growth. No, no, well, I'm assuming that COVID fades down the next few months.
Yeah, all I can say, you know, currently, I mean, we had gone with the budget and then suddenly, you know, second wave happens and all the budget goes out of the window. So it's very difficult for anyone to take a guess. Now they're talking about third wave, so we are equally clueless. So we are also trying to gather from the industry what they say this year could be overall, you know, in the same line, a little better than last year, but more or less in the same range. What we had originally thought is, you know, it will be a very good growth. But the good part, Jitu, is that the demand on ground is solid. Okay, I don't think the demand has gone anywhere.
Correct.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, my view would be we are currently, I mean, as let's say human beings and social animals, we are like social beings. We are actually caged animals. You know, the moment we find a good remedy to this, and we are confident to get out of this COVID, all hell will break loose in terms of demand. It will be completely the other picture. So my view is demand is really there, solid. You know, the rest of you know the fundamentals like crop, like you know monsoon, like I mean India's growth plans, everything is intact. So I don't see that going anywhere. But if you ask me to take a guess whether it will happen this year, next year, it's really difficult. However, based on the latest that we have, we are assuming that you after third wave, Q4 will be very strong. I mean, assuming there's a third wave.
Yeah. Look, I think we're on the same page, but we don't know when it happens. But whenever it happens, it'll be very strong. And the template for that would be what's happening in some of the developed world countries, where you're seeing an explosion in pockets of demand in a lot of areas, and a lot of people getting caught short. Which was leading me to the second point that, assuming there's a point where demand is not very strong for various reasons, including dealership shut and stuff, would you at some point produce to inventory rather than produce to sales and keep inventory handy so that whenever that demand comes and you're caught short on production, you can use that inventory to neutralize that?
Yeah. Actually, Jitu, we are exactly doing that currently. We have used this time because, you know, last year the recovery was so strong that we had to incur a huge amount of premium freight, as you all know. So this year, we have consciously used this time to build up our finished goods inventory. And idea would be to try to sustain that inventory so that we get out of this premium freight completely. And second, we are able to service the customer much better. And we are able to reduce, you know, a lot of inefficiencies which happen because of, you know, inventory not being there. So we certainly are working towards that, what you exactly told, in terms of building inventories.
Okay. And finally, you know, this Ola discussion came up a few times. Now, I'm just saying, you know, it's not like India is going to get a brand new market of 2 million vehicles. So if Ola really gets to 1 or 2 million, then someone's got to be losing it, and you've got your production to a lot of different guys around. So the point is that the aggregate demand for the two-wheeler will still be a reasonable number if Ola were to take off. Is that a fair base case, or am I off on that?
Jitu, if I'm understanding, you're telling that there will be a cannibalization of demand, right?
Yeah, so someone else will get cannibalized in the process.
Yeah, I mean, that is bound to happen, I mean, certainly. But in terms of, you know, let's say the electric two-wheeler user is going to be mainly an intra-city user, not an intercity. So to the extent of intercity usage and rural market usage, and let's say pleasure biking and, you know, that category, that will be, I would say, still insulated. But in the rest, it would be a cannibalization of demand, certainly.
Okay. Super. Thanks so much. Really appreciate the...
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amarkant Gaur from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Most of my questions have been answered. Just a couple of clarifications, if you can. So we have gotten, 100% business from Ola as far as the two-wheelers are concerned, right? So, and they have also planned an electric four-wheeler. So have you started having any conversations with them on that?
They are planning an electric four-wheeler. That's what, at least, you know, in my discussions with Bhavish, he did mention that eventually they are planning a, you know, four-wheeler as well. But right now they are going to focus on two-wheeler only. So I don't think they are even in a discussion mode for four-wheelers as of now. But the good part is, I think we have established a good relationship. Our product has been well received, what we delivered to them in terms of the first few samples. And if we deliver them well, flawlessly in terms of all volumes, etc., QCD, I don't think there should be any reason for him to look anywhere else for a suspension.
Okay, sir, that's encouraging. And sir, on the product bit, a little bit on the product side. So we are providing products from the range of, say, Espresso to Brezza, R, and even XUV700. So is there a difference in the product? I'm hoping the higher the model is, the better will be the profitability for us. But in terms of technology, the product is more of the same, or technologically the product is also different when we move from Espresso to, say, for example, a Thar or a XUV700?
Yeah, the product is different. Like XUV700 will be a new technology product. So it's a higher technology product, definitely.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniket Mahatre from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks very much for the opportunity. So you mentioned that in electric vehicles, the content would be higher. Just wanted to understand, why would that be so? Is it a general trend that EV's content would be typically higher?
No, I did not mention the content is higher. I was only telling the figure that we told in terms of content.
Oh,
that's
okay. Oh.
What we are delivering to Ola specifically is definitely higher. But while on the subject, we are delivering a new technology both in front fork and rear shock absorbers to both Ola. So to that extent, it's a higher technology product as well.
Understood. And directionally, if we were to understand, for EVs when we supply, the margins would be similar to our core business, or higher or lower? Any sense you could give us on that?
Well, too early for me to say, because we still have to, you know, this is the first mass EV product that we are making. On paper, it looks good as of now, but as we go along, you know, the changes happen, and then how things shape up, I'll have to park my comments as of now for this.
Sure, understood. Moving on to the passenger vehicle segment, the new orders that you talked about for Maruti, any indication from them as to when they would start the Jimny production?
Yeah, we have clear SOP dates for, you know, all those products. However, you know, even at their end, because of this COVID second wave, some dates have got shifted. They had shared some dates, but even in those, we are seeing. They have told us that these dates will likely to change. So, you know, we may see a shift of dates. In terms of specific for YWD, as I said, you know, with the customer, we have a agreement that we are not supposed to share the dates with you. I'm unable to share that with you.
Okay, understood. Sure. And just finally, one last question on, you mentioned that you are at the moment using this opportunity to produce more at the moment. So basically, we understand that most of the dealerships today are closed, right? So most of your production would be going into building up inventory. So would that mean June might be a slower production for you guys if demand doesn't pick up? Because we understand that June might not again be equivalent to a full ramp up, right? So what kind of inventory levels would you have right now, and how do you plan forward?
No, just to clarify, even in the month of May, while we are trying to build up inventory, the production levels have been lower essentially because there is there is a challenge on from getting material from the suppliers, and even next month this is bound to happen. So the production level itself is low, but yes, we are still trying to see if we within this we are able to get our production a little higher so that we do some FG stocking. It will not be very significant. Yes, to the extent of raw material inventory, we are currently riddled with a little high inventory because obviously you can't change your because this, the second wave happened a bit too suddenly. So
Sure, understood. Sir, just final thing on recent OE, what would be the ramp-up plans you are getting from two-wheeler, four-wheeler CV OEMs for June, if you could help us understand? Would that be 50% of normal levels, 30% of normal levels? Any sense that you could give us so as to gauge the ramp-up that we can expect?
Yeah, so as of now, we've got some very robust schedules. I must say they are, almost 80% of 80 to 90% of normal levels. Those are the indications that we have. But I'm myself very doubtful of them. Even the OEs have qualified those schedules with a rider, telling that we'll have to carefully observe as each week passes. Because to be honest, it's really impossible for anybody to guess right now. The only thing is what we believe June will be better than May.
Surely, of course. Yeah, sure. Got that. Great, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best for the future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant Vaz from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, I have first couple of questions on the two-wheeler side. You mentioned, obviously, multiple times asked on the electric side. I think the question more is, you mentioned in brief remark initially in your statement about market share gains in two-wheelers. So what are your strategies to gain market share on the ICE side with existing larger OEMs? Do you have any action plan on that, and do you see any success in auto wins there? And second on electric, just wanted to understand, you said it's a new product that you're developing. What is like the localization or the import content in that product?
Which product?
The new suspension that you're supplying to Ola Electric.
Okay, understood. So I'll start with the second question. So there's hardly any import content in that product. It's almost negligible, I can say. So that's on the Ola Electric suspension. On your second, in terms of market share, see, we have continuously been working on improving our market share in two-wheelers, especially by focusing on I'm talking about the ICE, like you said, not the EV side. EV, again, we have a focused strategy to address each and every EV player. But on the ICE side, we have tried to increase our share, particularly in the front fork of the OEMs. And we have been, I must say, successful. You can see our growth has been little ahead of the industry over the past year. And we are, let's say, compared to industry, we are about 3% better. So, obviously, we are gaining some market share. So, the strategies are engaging with them more, much more deeply right from the development stage. That is what we certainly are doing. Offering new technologies, we have a tech center in Hosur with our own small test track. So, we are able to do some quick and dirty testing as well. So, we are able to offer, good products at a reasonably good price to the customer. And yes, in terms of our service, response, presence close to OEM locations, that of course is well known. So all this put together, we are able to continuously keep on increasing our market share with the customers.
Okay. Thanks. And second question is on the four-wheeler side. You mentioned about the new order win. So from a product mix basis, do you think these new order wins are likely to be slightly better profitability vis-a-vis previous cycles of passenger vehicles, or from a cost structure and profitability, they aren't significantly different from previous generation of orders?
Okay. You're talking about new business pipeline that we won for PC, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But they're pretty much in the same range. Well, a couple of places where we are able to introduce something new, that is slightly higher, but otherwise they're all pretty much in the same range.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Shashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, on the margin front, just wanted to check. So this quarter, we have probably 8.5% margin, which is a quarter high. So going forward, is double-digit EBITDA margin on the horizon for us over the next 2 years, let's say by FY23?
Can you repeat that, Shashank? You said double-digit?
EBITDA margin.
Yeah.
So is that something on the horizon for us, given the cost of
savings? We were quite enthused by the last quarter. And we had all plans of, inching forward on that this year as well. But, this COVID second wave has really derailed the plans. Because you have to understand that, once the volumes go and, many of the costs are kind of fixed. So it's very difficult for us to shave off costs.
But sir, then 9.5-10% is possible, right? In FY23, when things normalize, then we'll have...
It all depends on volumes, but it's a volume game for us. Because we have 7 plants with fairly well established capacities, so it's a volume game, yes, certainly. And if volumes hit, why not? Yes, absolutely.
The thing is, on the tax rate, there seems to be some adjustment in the previous quarter's tax outgo as well. Plus this quarter is for 32%. So any guidance or any take on that point?
Are you talking about previous year or are you talking about the previous quarter?
Previous quarter, sir. I think last quarter it was 8.1 as reported tax, but this time you have readjusted that figures, right?
One second, sir. Can you please repeat the question?
I was asking about, is there any adjustment in the tax rate that you have accounted for? Because last quarter, you have reported 8.1 crores as a tax outgo. This time, you have reinvested that to 9.3 crores. And the full year tax rate comes to around 32% for you, 30-odd% for you. So,
no, the average tax rate for us remains at 25.5%. And the adjustment that you were mentioning about is on account of some refunds that have come for the previous years.
Is there any reason for very high, substantial high interest outgo for this quarter? Because this amount has never been the case for us, some 3.7 crores.
Interest outgo for us is on account of two lines. One is the MSME interest that we provide for, and the other is on account of the leasing, the interest portion on the leasing. Since there is no debt for us, there is no real interest that we accrue.
Right, sir. But normally it's been on the range of 1.2 crores per quarter, right? This quarter it came at 3.7 crores.
The change in the MSME Act, we had to provide for the additional outflow towards the MSME, which in this current year we will sort out with the payment terms.
And so one last thing, you aspire to be on a top 5 global shock absorber or suspension solution provider. So any update on that front in terms of inorganic acquisitions, or how do you see that vision being attained in time frame?
Yeah, so Shashank, we definitely, one is domestic growth, second is exports. That was, I had shared that plan, so exports also is, started picking up. M&A definitely is part of, the strategy. Like I mentioned, we were evaluating a couple of options. However, due to COVID, it took a little backseat. So we all I can say is we are still in the phase of evaluation.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Kalhatkar for closing comments.
Thank you. So thank you once again. Thanks everybody for all those questions which help us also, you know, actually retrospect and think and reflect on what we can do better going forward. Be assured that we have taken all those inputs, and only thing I can say right now is we all have to take adequate precautions to ensure that we are safe you know, our families are safe, and I just wish all of you the best, the very best of health. This quarter, again, unfortunately, the Q1 for this year again looks, you know, of course, in little trouble because of all this that is happening. Let's all only hope that July onwards, you know, again, we see the same strong recovery that we have seen in the last year. So thanks everybody, and take care. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Gabriel India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.